This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. And joining us, you know, I had to take a run downstairs. He's a quick guy, I'll tell you. I looked to the left, I looked to the right, I asked Larry, I said, have you seen the state representative? He goes,
you're still out of breath, Kevin.
I am. I ran downstairs, looked into Ed Perry's office, ran back upstairs, and wouldn't you know, quick as could be, he's sitting here.
Kevin, I was a halfback.
Were you really?
I was a Spellman halfback. I still move
a Spellman
quick.
Guy.
Yeah, imagine that.
Wow. Who hasn't gone to Spellman?
A lot of Spellman folks, I'll
yes.
tell you. Yeah, a lot of Spellman
cream
folks.
Of the crop. Well, the reason why we have you here this week, reason why you are before us, is to do the State House report.
Sure.
And I thought we would make this kind of a special and kind of an extended one. I know that recently you did an op-ed piece in regards to Silver Lake and its use, and probably the use, its use and maybe abuse of a neighboring community.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to kind of, I think you might be working on some
legislation. Yes.
And in your op-ed piece, not to kind of tip my hand totally here, you had mentioned the fact that it's kind of unfortunate that it's coming to this.
Right.
To kind of get a community to kind of realize what it's doing in regards to utilizing a resource, somehow, I guess, selling it to a neighboring community when it's something that has been gifted to them. Am I incorrect here?
Kevin, as outrageous as it sounds, you're 100% correct.
And who is this community? Who is this community? And kind of give us the nuts and bolts
will do.
Of this.
A couple of years ago, I was walking a neighborhood in Halifax, right around Monpotsett Pond. And I had noticed that the pond, once a very viable recreational source for fishing and swimming and boating, no one could use it. Signs everywhere. Pond shut down for the summer. And I asked the residents at that time, what's going on? And they said, well, you know, our pond has been destroyed by a public policy where Brockton takes our water. And so the more I researched it, the more outrageous it became. And the interesting thing about this argument, nobody disagrees on the facts.
Hmm.
No one disagrees on the facts. So let me bring you down memory lane.
Please do.
If this is the only issue we get to, it's such a big public policy matter, it's worth it.
Okay.
In 1963, the Massachusetts legislature passed a law in response to an incredible drought that happened in Massachusetts. I remember it well because I lived in Avon at the time, right next door to Brockton, and there was no water. You couldn't water your lawn. They couldn't put fires out completely. As a side note, I was affected by it. I was in a fire that was not put out completely and was in a hospital at Children's Hospital for over a month when I was 7 years old.
Wow.
And so the legislature passed a law that said that Silver Lake, which had an abundance of water, was blessed with an abundance of water, would use to support Brockton's needs. And the folks, I'm told at the time, and from the research I've done on the archives, indicated that the people of Silver Lake and the communities of Pembroke, Hanson, Halifax, Kingston, and the like, Plimpton, were happy to do it. You know, in the day, neighbors were very proud of helping neighbors. Well, now fast forward 50 years, and if you look into the provisions of the law, it said that the primary source of water for Brockton would be Silver Lake, and that was fine, and that there were two other bodies of water, one of them Monpotsett Pond, that would be used as a supplement in the event that Silver Lake drew down so low that they couldn't provide the water for Brockton. There was also supposed to be a 3-member water commissioners board set up that was never set up, that was supposed to determine public policy with respect to this water and to make decisions real time on the greater good. So over the years, what has occurred is Brockton, 6 years ago, developed a desalinization plan to provide for their own needs. They pay a lump sum, millions of dollars per year, for that plant, and then they pay a unit price for every gallon they take out of it. Now here's a test. How many gallons has the plant generated? It's fully operational.
Well, how much did they generate or used?
Used.
I don't think they've used a drop.
Not a drop. They continue to take water from Silver Lake.
And they spend
I think it's $3 million, $6 million a
year. $6 million.
It's lump sum.
Yep. That they do annually.
And then they would pay incrementally for every gallon over that. But the deal they have from Silver Lake, which is free, is a better deal for them. Well, it gets worse now. So then they went into business, and they're providing 100% of Whitman's water, Brockton is, from Silver Lake.
Neighboring town.
To the tune of $3 million a year that goes directly into their treasury.
So just for me and listeners to understand, so Brockton is taking the water from Silver Lake.
Correct.
And then selling it back to the town of Whitman.
Correct. 100% of Whitman's water supply is provided from Silver Lake. Now, there are some major problems associated with that now. The legislation was clear that the use of Silver Lake and Montpensier Pond would not be affected with regard to recreation, swimming, and the like. Montpensier Pond has been shut down 3 out of the past 4 years during the summer because the levels are so low because they're taking water out of Montpensier. Remember, that was to be used as a supplement to Silver Lake. Mm. They're taking out of Montpensier to fill Silver Lake so they can sell it to Whitman and to provide for the growing needs of Brockton. And the way they manipulate the water is through Stump Brook and the dam at Stump Brook. So that opening and closing the dam to take water out of Montpensier into Silver Lake to provide for those needs has caused the stagnation of Montpensier Pond. So there is an inch thick film or layer of algae throughout the height of the summer so that the pond cannot be used. Now, I really couldn't believe it. So I went to a working group that was conducted by the town of Halifax, one of my towns, and probably 25 leaders from around the district, as well as state agencies, environmental groups, and everyone agreed on the facts. And the water commissioner from Brockton was there. It was very difficult for me because he was one of my former school teachers at Spelman. And I said, please tell me I've got the facts wrong.
Mm.
And his response was, no, your facts are accurate. And so the legislation I filed calls for the reinstitution of the 3-member water commissioners or the implementation of that policy, and it calls for unilateral authority for DEP to tell Brockton, no, you cannot draw down Stump Brook for these reasons, and we cannot destroy such a precious body of water, which is Montpensier Pond and Silver Lake, just because they can. And so I've spoken to the folks in the city of Brockton. Again, they agree on all the facts. They don't disagree with anything I just said. The only thing we now have to talk about moving forward is, when do we stop this practice? We are not going to have another summer. I can promise you, and you can play this tape next May. We are not, absolutely not going to have another summer where Montpensier Pond gets shut down because of this practice.
I have to ask you, I don't know if you're following what's going on as far as politically. They just had
in Brockton
city elections, and you have a new mayor taking office on January 6th.
And I've already reached out to the new mayor. Oh. As you know, Kevin, I'm not the type of elected official that plays the sabotage game. Well, yes, I don't sit back and wait, but I also don't like to surprise anybody. I believe that, you know, facts set us free.
Mm.
Reasonable people will do reasonable things when they have the right data. And so I've reached out to Mayor-elect Carpenter and spoken with, I hope to speak with him in the very near future about what I intend to do. I've spoken to the delegation from Brockton, Representative Brady, Representative Canavan, and Senator Kennedy.
Has Representative Brady been cloned? Because I see him everywhere.
He works very hard.
Okay, just asking.
He works very, very hard. And as they look at the fact sheet, collectively, they say, are you kidding me? In fact, Senator Kennedy wrote a letter to the town of Brockton saying, please tell me the data is incorrect. It's correct. It's like me borrowing your lawnmower and you graciously giving it to do my lawn and find out that I'm subletting it to someone else or opening a landscaping business. And the folks in Brockton are terrific people, and I think when the folks in Brockton see what's going on, you know, nobody should blame them. They're wonderful people. Nobody's enforced it. Well, it's time to enforce it.
What are you asking for then? Are you asking for them to no longer utilize Silver Lake as a source? Is that what you're looking to do?
No, they should always have, water sources know no boundaries, just like air valuable resources, natural resources know no boundaries. Should any of the Silver Lake neighbors be in need, I think the Silver Lake residents will be happy to step up and help. But the first thing I'm calling for is for Brockton to begin using its desal plant to provide for its own needs. And if it has surplus capacity, use that capacity to sell it to whatever neighboring towns they want. Okay. Don't sell their neighbors' assets.
So what's the plan then? What if Brockton can no longer supply the water, say, to Whitman? Is there a second plan for Whitman to be able to get their water?
Brockton will be very capable of providing water to Whitman using the desal plant that they that they constructed.
So it's really just a matter of getting them to switch the source from Montponsant as an overflow to the desal plant.
There's no reason to use Montponsant at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was always intended to be a supplemental reserve water body of water for drinking water purposes. It was never intended to expand Brockton's capabilities into the commercial sale of water.
See, from now, I could be wrong in this assumption, but I'm pretty sure that the mayor-elect is going to take a close look at the contract that they have with Aquaria, the desal plant, because there's been an issue as far as, I guess, the folks who own and operate the desal plant were supposed to be marketing that commodity and haven't.
That's right.
And I believe, I wouldn't doubt that the mayor-elect and his team may look at ways to get out of that contract. What happens then if they, what if they are no longer attached to the desal plant?
Sure.
Does that change the landscape?
Well, I will say this to you, Kevin. I can't speak to how the city of Brockton,
right, this is all speculative,
will handle their problems. What I do know is the day of their water policy affecting Jones River and affecting Montponsant Pond are over. That was not the intent of the legislation 50 years ago. Mm. It wasn't the expectation that there would be an unintended consequence being absorbed by the people of the Silver Lake region. I don't know what Brockton will do. I don't know what Whitman will do. And I'm sure the representatives from those districts will be very much on top of that. What I do know is that the communities in my district that have paid the price for 50 years, the gig's up.
Ooh.
Ooh. The gig is up.
So I guess what I'm asking, again, just to, for you to clarify.
How much clearer can I be?
what I'm saying, though, is that I would think that with this bill that you're about to file, have you filed it yet?
It's been filed.
Okay. What do you got for support? Do you have an overwhelming support on this?
I spoke with the chairman of the Conservation Committee in the state in the legislature, in the Environmental Committee in the legislature, and Representative Brady from Brockton was in one of those meetings. And each time they kind of shake their head and they said, "What are we missing?" That's the funny thing about this.
Mm.
We're not missing anything. It's occurred for a long time. And I guess what happens sometimes is you got the good folks of the suburbs that kind of, they deal with it. They don't yell and scream a lot. They're not urban folks. They're just suburban folks that kind of take it on the chin. And then this wonderfully active, articulate group of professionals from Halifax started really screaming about this and bringing the issue to light and brought a lot of people into the room. And it's not Representative Tom Calter that's brought this thing to light. It's this group of activists in Halifax who have done so in the most professional, informative way. They believe, as I do, that facts are friendly, and when people hear about these facts, they're going to agree with us that action must be taken. Now, at the end of the day, I think when we call on the three county commissioners, we're very blessed to have three outstanding county commissioners now.
Mm.
When we call on them and ask them to read the legislation of 1963, I'm sure they will move quickly to set up the County Board of Water Commissioners, which was anticipated in that legislation but never occurred.
Okay.
And that those water commissioners will take the lead and stop the unilateral water policy that's being administered by Brockton.
Would they have to rewrite any policy?
No.
Not at all.
No.
All they have to do is just enact what's already written.
Enact what was in place. Mm. That's often the time with the law, with legislation.
Right.
It's well-intended. It can be well-scripted. It doesn't work. People want a new law written. All we need to do is
just enforce
the
have.
Law that we have.
This is a great joke.
I'll keep you posted on it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just very reminiscent, obviously, of the flood insurance stuff also. Well, same idea.
Well, there's a lot that will be in play come the new year in Brockton. It'll be interesting to see how it's handled by the new administration and the folks that will take that over. You look at Brockton, it's had a number of issues, not only with as far as dealing with water, but a couple of years ago it had problems dealing with how they were billing their residents.
Yes.
And that was kind of an issue until there was an audit called for.
Well, obviously being here, I follow the Brockton race, and this issue, the water issue, was huge. And most of the debates, the desal plant was a big piece of that.
Well, the desal, you're talking $6 million a year.
The problem with that debate is the discussion about water in the desal plant had nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
No, it's a separate incident.
This element wasn't even introduced to the good citizens of Brockton yet. When the good citizens of Brockton understand this, my family lives in Brockton. Mm. They are equally outraged.
Can I ask you a question? You wrote your op-ed piece for who?
I wrote the op-ed piece to support...
For a weekly, though, right?
For a weekly.
Okay. Did you think to either submit it to the editors of either the Ledger or to the Enterprise?
It's interesting you asked that.
Mm. Oh, good.
I gave it to the representatives from the city of Brockton, so that they wouldn't be surprised. But I'm learning about this journalistic thing. Nobody wants to reprint...
Hot potato.
...an article
that
was printed in a weekly. So I've got to rewrite it and use different words and come at it from a different perspective in order for others to print it. Mm. I do know they have it. My hope is that they'll reach out to me. My objective in writing it, again, you know me, Kevin, facts are friendly. I'm not afraid of facts that prove my case or disprove my case.
Right.
I just want to assist the people in Halifax who have really been fighting this fight for a couple of years now, and I'm trying to do what I can do to help them make it center stage.
Joe, you have any other questions?
No, that's... You're bringing it to light to, I think, everyone.
Well, I thought it was a well-written piece. And
when I started,
I mean, this show tries to cover stuff on the South Shore. We we've leaned a little stronger towards the Brockton area because of the political thing. We're actually looking to expand things. We're going to be speaking with Mayor Joe Sullivan, Mayor Kay, next Monday night. So that's going to be a fantastic conversation to get others involved. But we definitely would like you to bring... back more information if you hear anything. Anything else that you want to touch upon quickly while we have you here?
It was interesting, politics being what it is. I had an email, one of my first responses after the article said, "Hey, Rep, I do hope you never intend to run for county government." I can honestly tell you that never crossed my mind. It never crossed my mind. One thing that has always set me free is that we've got real big issues, whether it be in welfare reform, whether it be in the water policy of the region, whether it be in our tax policy. At the end of the day, if you talk about facts, you'll bring people together. The welfare reform bill we just passed, the House and the Senate just passed, had bipartisan support, Democrats and Republicans. And why did that happen? It happened, and we could do a whole show just on what that policy is, but it happened because many of the conservative Republicans were 100% right. The Inspector General report showed fraud, mismanagement, and abuse. And many of the liberal Democrats were 100% right that the policies didn't pay enough attention to employability, to putting people on a path to employment, giving people the skills they needed to be employed. Both parties were right. And as soon as people stop telling the other that they're wrong and we're right, guess what? We got a bill passed that Republicans and Democrats alike supported.
I would ask you this. Do you feel that this bill is enough, or you're going to have to do further legislation down the road somewhere?
You know, never say never. Mm. If it's not perfected, we need to fix it. But I can tell you what's in this bill right now. There are major provisions for identify and stamp out fraud, and there are major provisions for helping folks find future employment and be more employable in the future. Mm. If we need to do more, we'll do more. But people on both sides are happy with the work we're getting done. And a bill will come out of conference that we'll vote up or down, and I'm certain it will pass.
All right, I think we got a caller on the line. Is that correct, Larry? Caller, do you have a quick question?
I do. I actually have a quick statement. I'm glad that Tom Colt is on our side. Kevin, this is Arthur Boyle from the Pembroke Board of Selectmen.
Hey, Arthur, how are you, sir?
Good, thank you. But I'm a big fan of Tom Colt's.
Hello, Arthur.
How are you, Tom?
Very good, sir.
And he's not my rep, so I'm not giving him a plug, but he's given equal time.
Okay, I want to make sure Josh Cutler doesn't get upset.
No, Josh is great, too.
Josh has been fighting with me on this. Not fighting, meaning by my side, right. On my side.
Right.
Well, we're the Pembroke Watershed Association is one of the older watershed groups around, and we've had, you know, similar issues, not with Brockton, but with bog owners in some cases, you know, folks that are, you know, draining into the pond, other, you know, other issues and drainage and that kind of thing. And it's great to see that somebody's on the pond issues. And, you know, as I say, Tom, you and I have worked together on school things in the past, and I found you to be a guy that gets the job done without a lot of fanfare, and I think it's great that you're on the side of the residents.
Well, Arthur, I learned from the best, and that would be you.
Well, thanks.
Thanks for all you do.
Maybe you. Arthur, maybe we should have a little bit of more of a round table type discussion in regards to you know, our commodity of water and how it's being utilized and how we can not only protect it but make sure that it's being used properly.
Well, we're not only interested in protecting it, but we're in favor of making it a better situation. We've got a hydrilla weed problem in one pond. We've got a pollution problem in another, and there'd be a lot to talk about, Kevin. I'd love to do it and invite Ray Holman from the Pembroke Watershed Association, the president, over, and it'd be a pretty interesting social discussion, that's for sure.
Let's see if we can do something either in December or January. We set this up, do a nice little half-hour segment.
And may I suggest that and rather than talk about Brockton, we invite Brockton to participate in the forum.
Sure, we could do this.
That'd be great.
Awesome. I want to thank you, Arthur, for calling in.
Well, thank you, Kevin and Tom. Thanks again for everything you do.
Arthur, happy holidays, my friend.
You too. Thanks.
And thank you, Arthur, and I want to thank you, Representative
Kevin. Thanks
for joining us.
Great for seeing you,
yeah.
Joe. Thank you so much.
You'll be due back up on the rotation in a few weeks for as we do this the State House report. And
it's a great service you provide to the listeners. So thank you so much.
You got it. We will step aside. When we come back, we will look to speak with another state representative who's running for Attorney General, Hank Naughton, in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Dear.